to read a good portion of the 34th Psalm this morning to begin with. This gives us a good view from God's side, and that's where we need to be looking from God's side. I find that the majority of time in our lives, we're more concerned with us than we are with God. We're concerned with what's happening to us rather than what God is concerned about, what He's doing. And so we need to really let God speak to our hearts. We're here for God. We've been created for God. We've heard that so much, I think we've forgotten it. It's just kind of escaped us. But that's why we're here. We're here for God's purpose. We're not here for our own purpose. Let me begin to read in the 34th Psalm, in the 5th verse. And they looked unto him and were lightened. Their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear him and delivereth them. O taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in him. O fear the Lord, ye his saints, for there is no want to them that fear him. The young lions do lack, suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Come, ye children, hearken unto me. I will teach you the fear of the Lord. What man is there that desireth life and loveth many days, that he may see good? Keep thy tongue from evil and thy lips from speaking guile. Depart from evil and do good. Speak peace. Seek peace and pursue it. The eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and his ears are open unto their cry. The face of the Lord is against them that do evil, to cut off the remembrance of them from the earth. The righteous cry, and the Lord heareth, and delivereth them out of all their troubles. The Lord is nigh unto them that are of a broken heart, and saveth such as of a contrite spirit. Many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivereth him out of them all. He keepeth all of his bones, and one of them is broken. Not one of them is broken. Evil shall slay the wicked, but they that hate the righteous shall be desolate. The Lord redeemeth the soul of his servants, and none of them that trust in him shall be desolate. We can rejoice this morning in what God is doing. We too often forget the goal, the revelation. We miss the purpose. And thus we wander kind of aimlessly in life, seeking something that satisfies, and there's only one thing that satisfies, and that's Jesus. That's God come in the flesh to work in us and to do a perfect work. Let me share with you a few thoughts this morning from Ephesians. These are not new thoughts. These are thoughts I'm sure that have come to us before. Whether we see or not, that's one thing. But if we're going to move on, we must see. There must be a hunger. There must be some changes in our lives. I don't know how any one of us can be satisfied if we do not see something happening, a change is happening in our lives. Christianity is not something that just leaves us complacent, indifferent, stagnant, not moving. In other words, this is a working of God. This is something that God is building with lively stones. This is not dead rocks. Glory. And we need to realize that. Let me begin to read in the second chapter of Ephesians in the 15th verse. having abolished in his place the enmity, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, for to make in himself of twain one new man, so making peace, that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off and to them that were nigh. For through him we both have access by one Spirit unto the Father. Now therefore you are no more strangers and foreigners, but fellow citizens with the saints and of the household of God, and are built upon the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom all the building fitly framed together groweth into a holy temple in the Lord. You can see from this that what God is doing is all dependent upon himself. There's one thing that salvation does. It takes that area of self away and puts something else within us, a consciousness of himself. And I think that as we read these passages in the Word, the psalmist, as he wrote, we can see that God is mindful of us. Sometimes I think we forget this, and we think that we have to survive on our own strength, or by our own wit, or whatever we feel that we have strength, but we have no strength separate from him. When it comes to the realm that what we're talking about and why God has created us. But the emphasis I want to see here this morning is this one new man. That's so important to see what it says. One new man is created in himself. That's what the body of Christ is all about. It's that one new man. Not two, not three, not a bunch of members, one new man. God looks at the church as a whole, not a bunch of individuals. That doesn't mean that God doesn't deal with us and bring us into the working as individuals, but the minute that we come into the working, God looks at a whole. And every emphasis that is put by the writers to these different churches and to these different groups of believers all emphasizes the concern that they had for the whole. Each one of our lives affects the whole. Sometimes we think that the whole affects the individuals. No, it's the individuals that affect the whole. We're here to represent and to be a vessel that God can reveal himself in. If you were applying for a job this morning, there's one thing I think that the one that was hiring you would look for. Somebody that was concerned for his behalf. If you're just looking for money, you're just looking for position, not interested in you. We're interested in those that are concerned with the job, the end goal of what you're doing. And it's time that we got involved and see what God is doing and get concerned with the heart of God. Concerned with the heart of God. Quit looking at all of the individuals and start to look at the whole. One new man. Now all this work is done by the power of God, by the indwelling Spirit. And we've gone over that in the past here. I don't say we have exhausted the area, but we have gone over the working, how the Spirit of God has come, how he places us in the body, how he is building us together. But everything is pertaining to our oneness in God. It goes all the way back to Jesus when he was here on earth, and as he spoke to his disciples, and as he prayed to the Father, Father, make them one. Everything that you read in his exhortation, his words to the apostles before he left, was to prepare them for this new working. As I say, we're so self-conscious that we have lost our God consciousness. And I don't say that to down us, but to encourage us to focus back on why we're here. And to focus on God and get concerned, get involved, if I might say that, get involved with what God is doing. I know we don't like to be absolute. We always like to have an out. But let me say this. God is doing one thing in the world today. I don't care where he's coming from or how he's working in. He's doing one thing. He's building a people for himself. He is making us one. A one that your natural mind cannot even conceive. You must experience it. The oneness that we're talking about is a union with God to where there's no longer two but one. Yet there's still two. Amen. Glory, I mean, it's a glorious revelation from God when we start to see. And Jesus revealed this as he spoke to his disciples. Even as he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I mean, they were one. We don't serve three gods. We serve one God. But there are two persons. There's three persons in this Godhead. But they're so one that everything looks like one. And that's exactly what he's doing as far as the body of Christ is concerned. And as long as we keep our individuality, as long as we do our own thing and we're not concerned, we're not laboring in God, we're not going to see, nor are we going to enjoy what God has for us. There's tremendous areas of working that needs to take place in each one of our lives. We need to clear our hearts to where we are completely free from any guilt, any fear, any condemnation. It must be clear. Because in Christ, in this one new man, there's no condemnation. Glory. Our relationship with one another and anybody in the world that we are at crossways with, it has to be clear. You can't bring that into the body of Christ. You can't bring that into this one new man that God is building in this hour. It won't work. It hinders. Time-wise, we are not really concerned. We don't have a mind to work. I say that to our shame. No way am I trying to just criticize, but I am saying we do not have a mind to work. That's why things are so slow. I've listened very intently for the last few weeks. And when I say few, I'm talking about three or four or five. I have heard no real enthusiasm about bringing the table of the Lord into our midst so that we can remember Him. None. Not one little inkling. And I've listened intensely. Just listen for somebody to say, wonder what we're going to do, when we're going to do it. We don't want to remember God. It's not on your mind. You're not taken up with it. Because it's only a ceremony. It's only something that you're looking at in the natural. Let's look at it from God's side. What does it mean? Why did he say, as often as you do this, do it in remembrance of me? As often as you do this, you show forth my death until I come again. Hallelujah. Because it brings the reality of what God is doing, why he has done it. This bread is my body, which was broken for you, was given. This is my blood that was shed for you, a brand new covenant. It brings a continual remembrance before us of what Jesus Christ has done. It's not just passing the bread and a cup. It's a remembrance of Him. And God is, shall I say, He desires this. Because He knows our frailty. We forget so easily. We can't even remember from one week to another. I'm not talking about you aged ones. I'm talking about all of us. Glory? If we're not willing to admit these things, brother, we're not going anywhere. I'm not up here just talking to be talking. I'm concerned that we move on. to really see and move in what God is doing in this hour. Let's move over to Colossians, if you might, for just a moment or two, and look at a couple of passages there. In the third chapter. There's things that, we need to do. Again, let me remind you that in Nehemiah's time, when he was building the wall, all the people had a mind to work. It's a wonderful story. We all rejoice in it. But it doesn't seem that it affects us. We must have a mind to work and labor. We are His workmanship, created unto every good work. How do we escape these areas and we're not taken up with the labor that God has called us to labor in? Well, first we must know the direction. And that's by the Holy Spirit as He comes to abide within us. He's the one that's going to lead us and guide us. Do you think that the Holy Spirit is here to just lead you and guide you in your jobs and what you're doing? He will do that. But the Holy Spirit is building the body of Christ together, a habitation for God. His sole purpose in coming is to glorify Christ in every way. Come on, shout. I have to prime you up. And you're still not doing too good. You're still not doing too good. It doesn't excite you. And I'm not interested in just, I'm just not interested in all of the excitement of our emotions. I'm interested in that we get down to the laboring, to the working that God has called us to do, to where we're laboring love. That we're submitting ourselves to one another. We're not submitting ourselves to one another. Who are we kidding? The only involvement that we have this morning, let me say it very kindly, is that you covenant with yourself that you're going to be here on Sunday morning. Other times they just have to come and go as ever how they fall. How are we going to see the body of Christ built together if we're not involved in each other's lives? And then when we get involved the wrong way. We can't be God to any one of you. And I'm not going to try to be. I'm not going to be the Holy Ghost in your life. You can't be the Holy Ghost in somebody else's life. Glory. Let's look at this passage here in the third chapter of Colossians. Fifth verse, let me begin to read there. Mortify therefore your members which are upon earth, fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affections, evil concupiscence, covetousness, which is idolatry, for which things sake the wrath of God cometh on the children of disobedience. Let's go on. Just take a look at the negative aspect. We're looking for the positive aspect here this morning. But there is a negative aspect in which ye also walk sometimes when you live in them. But now also put off all these: anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. Lie not one to another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds, and have, it should be past tense, have put on the new man. Doesn't speak of new men, or put on your own garments yourself. The new man, you have entered into what God is doing. He's doing one thing. One new man in himself, in Christ. What is which is renewed in the knowledge after the image of him that created him. Where there is neither Greek nor Jew, circumcision or uncircumcision, barbarian, Scythian, bond or free, and Christ is all and in all. Put on therefore, because of all of that now, put on therefore, as the elect of God. How am I elected? I'm elected in Christ. When we come into Christ, we are the elect. Now, God does have an election, but we are the elect because we're in Christ. He has elected Israel. He's going to deal with Israel. I don't want to go into all of that, but they are referred to as the elect. God elected them. He's going to deal with them after the church is taken out of this world. As a nation, as a people. But we now are that one new man. That holy nation that God's talking about. This new working of God. Put on therefore as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. And above all these things, put on charity, which is the bond of perfectness. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be thankful. We're here to be brought to the fullness of God's plan, not just in part. I think sometimes our mentality is, well, I'm doing the best I can. Now, with the terminology we have laid aside, but that's still the whole thrust of our life. We're doing the best we can. The best you could do is never sufficient, because it's not what you can do, it's what God can do. So you take your focus off of God and to put it on you. We need to keep our eyes, our hearts on God. We need to know the heartbeat of God. Glory. Hallelujah. You need to lay your head upon His breast. You need to have communication with God. You need to get close enough. You need to be still enough to where you can hear God's heart. Because He said He would reveal it to you by His Spirit. He's going to search the deep things of God's heart. And He's going to reveal it to you. Not only that, He's going to work it in you. Hallelujah. Let the word of Christ, we're talking about words of life, spirit. We're not talking about just words that we read. We're talking about the living word. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual things. Spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. This will never happen until God gets our heart. Everything is against us but God. But hallelujah, God in you is the majority. I don't say that just for the sake of saying it. But everything is against you as far as the world is concerned. Let me just be negative a minute to let you realize that this world hates you. And all the time you want them to accept you and love you. It's amazing to me that we get our feelings hurt because the world steps on our feelings. It amazes me. Glory. We can weep over the world, but get our feelings hurt? Come on, beloved. Are you with me? Man, we've got to grow up in God. We want acceptance by the world. We want to be something so the world will recognize us. I only want God to recognize me. When I cry, that's the only thing I'm interested in, that God knows my voice. I used to know a few people, and they can do a few favors for you here and there. And you think you can do something, but I found out that they can't do anything spiritual for me. And what they can do is passing away, and is already passed away. The only thing that has meaning is that I know my Father hears my cry. And as that psalm says, His eyes are over the righteous. I'm hid in Him. You're hid in Him. But the thrust of what I'm saying here this morning is that we must get our eyes on what God wants, what God is doing, and not only that, we must be involved in it. I don't mean 10%, because I think we're a bunch of tithers, and you know we don't believe in tithing. But some of us give less than 10% of our time to the things of God. You don't believe that?
No, but
you think you can get by? You just give them a little bit. God wants our whole effort. This is not a natural work that I'm talking about. This is a spiritual endeavor by God, and He is in our lives to fulfill that work. He's not asking you to use your strength. He's going to give you the strength. He's not asking for your wisdom. He's not asking for what you think God is doing. He's giving you the revelation in His Son. He's giving you the power, the ability, the authority to be part of what this is, this one new man. Glory. The question that each one of us are going to have to answer, and I hope that you answer it today, am I going to be involved in what God is doing? And the next question I bring to you, are you willing for others to be involved in your life? It's twofold. Twofold. If you're not willing to be involved, if the purpose of God does not take and demand all of your attention, your efforts, and you're not willing for others to be involved in your life, in this great working, you're not willing to have them labor in your life and labor with you, let me ask you a very sincere question. What are you doing here? This is not hard, this is love. God's love draws us together. God's love makes us one. God's love involves us with each other's lives. God's love demands one thing. I know one thing that God wants, and I'm laboring. I'm giving my all to it. I know some of us, in our natural mind, we can't divide our walk down here in this world, in our jobs, in what I am. You can't justify it in what I'm telling you this morning. The Holy Ghost can, if you'll let Him. God didn't say you shouldn't work. You should sit on a mountain or in a cave somewhere. But He wants you to be involved 100% in what He's doing. He wants your mind and heart to be taken up with one thing, the body of Christ. Not what you see out there on the corners, but what He's doing, what His Word reveals. He don't want part-time. There's no place for part-time on the wall. If you understand what I'm saying. I'm talking about Nehemiah. There's no place for part-time. It's full-time. I hear people talking about part-time ministry. There's no such thing as part-time ministry. Beloved, I'm talking to you serious. This is decision day. You must make a decision. Because there must be a knowing. Are we building? Are we going ahead? Are we going to take our hearts off of the willow tree and come back in and start to rejoice in who God is? Are we going to sit here? Brother, we're going to move on. We've sat here. We've waited on God to deal with some of your hearts. Now we're going to move on. If we have to deal with you in the Lord, we will. If you don't want to be involved in what God is doing 100%, and if you don't want us involved in your life, it's time to disappear. I say that in all love. I don't say that in a wrong spirit here this morning. But if all it's going to do is cause you trouble. If you're not willing to be involved in what God is doing, and you're not willing for brothers and sisters to be involved in your life in the right way as God has ordained it. You're the one that's going to be rebelling. You're the one that's going to be running. You're the one that's going to be miserable. So that's why I'm saying, you have to make a decision. God gives us a place to choose. We can't continue to play church. I don't like the term, but that's exactly what it is. We come in, we think because we come to a meeting, somebody ministers to us a little bit, that we have done our duties. No, no, beloved, we haven't labored. God wants a body that is laboring. Everyone laboring. Every member alive. Everyone giving nourishment to the other, to the whole. Building up the body to where it's one. How far are we going? Full statue. Glory? Do you just want to go half statue? God said full statue. Go ahead, hallelujah.
Glory. Amen. Oh,
hallelujah. Put on, therefore, as the elect of God holy. And beloved, vows of mercy, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another and forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do you. Some of us, we sit and we have grievances in our hearts. We think we're hiding. We think nobody knows. The one that really has concern and love for your soul, he knows. He knows your heart. He knows where you're at. He knows what you're holding on to. Glory. But you can't hold on to it and go on. Put off. That's the old. Put it off. Come into the place where there's peace, where there's rest. Come into the working of God. God's going to have to show us it's all brand new, beloved. Because we're so programmed in the old church ways that we think that that's church. God's going to have to show us how the body functions. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have a little exhortation, a little teaching here and there. But brother, we need the presence of God. We need the actual manifestation of the Spirit of God. God's in our midst, speaking to our hearts, encouraging us, building us up, edifying us. This is not a natural working. I'm not interested in edifying your mind. I'm interested in God speaking to you. But some of us are so dull of hearing, we cannot hear God. In fact, the word, as it comes on us, it's harder and harder and harder. We draw back and say, that's not me, that's not me, that's not me. Pretty soon, nothing can touch you. This is the glorious working that God has called us to. Some of these things, I know that they sound a little coarse. I mean, a little rough. But they're not. Because these are the things that hinder us. I'm reminded as I think back over the story of Nehemiah, that before the work began, he went up and surveyed the wall. I don't know how much meaning that has to you or anything, but he surveyed the work that had to be done. Beloved, we go to the Word and see what God wants to be done. God is building. This is the building time. You won't have another chance. I don't have another chance. This is the time that we are to be involved. We are His workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto every good work. Don't be afraid of laboring. If you're in the love of God and you're moving by faith, that's what you're going to do. You're going to labor. It's not laboring in the flesh. It's laboring in the Spirit. Because if you're in the flesh, yes, you're going to be laboring in the flesh. But if you're in the Spirit, if the Spirit of God dwells in you, you need to know who you are. Glory. Again, I'm all but finished this morning. Say this to you. I don't want you to just bypass this. Are you involved in what God is doing? I'm not talking about naturally. I'm not talking about what you think and what you look at in the past is what is happening. Hallelujah. This is a brand new working of God. I'm not just talking about that in the essence that, you know, we're just coming together. This is a new working. I'm talking about what God is doing is brand new. And if we need to take and shed some of our old ways, let's get rid of it. If we need to pray and God speaks to our heart and we see a different working, we need to move in it. We need to survey the wall, or we need to survey the testimony of God, the revelation of what God is doing. Do we have what it takes to finish the work that God has called us to do? Do you have what it takes to be those that stick to, that are bound in love? Of course, we look to ourselves and say, well, nobody loves me. Are you loving anybody? Try it. The one thing about the kingdom of God, it says, give and it shall be given. The trouble, you don't have love and nobody's loving you, if you're not loving anybody. Nobody's concerned with me. Come on. You haven't been before God lately when you say that. God is concerned. There's other people that are concerned. But sometimes we work ourselves in a corner and we put up our defense. Just like a dog is cornered in the corner. He's ready to attack. Because he don't like to be cornered. And some of us, we get cornered. We don't like to be cornered. We don't like to be boxed in. That's our own fault. We should be free out in the open to those that can be involved in our life, that can help us and encourage us. Hallelujah. Paul said it very, very wonderfully, I think. He said about him and all of the other ministers that he named over there in Corinthians, he said, we all are gifts unto you from God. If you allow those gifts to be what God wants them to be, they can do nothing but bless you. Hallelujah. It's in God's hands. It's God's flow. It's God's authority. It's God's working that's going to bless you. It's not some man. It's not what man can do for you. It's what God can do. He has chosen to move through a many-membered body. He has come by His Spirit to indwell each one of the members of the body of Christ and to make us one, to build us together. Brother, we're here, brothers and sisters, we're here this morning to tell you that we are not seeing this come to pass. We've been on this wall for over 2 years. And we're still where we're at. Where we're at. Oh, there's been a few little changes here and there. But brother, from this morning on, you either are committed. And beloved, I'm not interested in just a mouth commitment. But you're willing to say, I'm involved. You need to make that decision. And I'm willing for brothers that God will place in the midst to care for me, that they can be involved in my life. I desire that myself. I mean, I just right truthfully, wouldn't you? I appreciate the involvement of brothers in my life. My blind spots, they can see my faults and point them out. Lord, sometimes we don't like that. But I rejoice in it. The body of Christ I'm talking about. I'm not just talking about a group, but I'm talking about in the body of Christ, there is a care, there's a loving care. I don't care what your past experiences is, you're going to have them cleansed, your past experiences, because we've all had our bad experiences. Haven't we not? If we're going to move in God, we have to be involved. God must be able to instruct us, build us up, build us together. I find that some of us, we're afraid of each other. I mean, to be very truthful, we're afraid of each other. The body of Christ exists because of the life of God. It's bound together because of the love of God. It matures because of the power of God. We must move from this spot. You must make a decision. Here's the decision. I'm not here to question whether you have given your heart to God or that you have the life of God. I'm interested this morning. Are you willing to commit your whole working of what God is doing in you to the working of God? Are you willing to get involved in what God is doing? You can't sit here any longer. You can't look at yourself. You must look to God. Lord. And then the second one, which is not any less than the first. They both take a definite decision of your will. And are you willing for others to be involved in your life? I'm not talking about to come in and meddle in your life. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about God's love moving through brothers and sisters that have a care. Are you willing for this? There has to be a choice. You have to choose. And this is not something that I'm springing on you all of a sudden. I'm just bringing it to climax today. And others will come. We trust that God will add to. They too will have to make the same choice. You can't have those that are individuals in the working of the body of Christ. They do nothing but fester trouble. We must be those that are submitted. We must be those that are involved. We must be willing to have those involved in our lives. And I say that in the right way. So don't be afraid, because if it's not right, what is happening, then it's wrong. And if we're not going by what God says and what His Word has made a place to us, then we must change it. But I'm not going to let anything, it's just like when I came to Jesus, I saw everything that was wrong around me. I said, I don't care what's wrong, I don't care what people say they have, I want the real. And I say this morning, I want the real. And I trust that every one of you want the real. The real thing, the real working. I'm not interested in methods. I'm not interested in somebody coming in and telling me, this is what you've got to do, this is the plan. Then we have the Holy Ghost. He has the one that plans. He's the one that directs. He's the one that's building us together, a habitation for God. Is that a reality? It can only be a reality as we give ourselves. Ever how you do it, beloved. Whether you be a brother or a sister here this morning, make it known to somebody, myself or somebody else this morning, I'm committed to the working. I'm involved in this work. And I'm willing to let those that have care for my soul, wherever it is, to be involved in my life. These are not just loose words. Because all I can say this morning, if God's not in this, and you're not seeing the purpose of God, I'm very truthful with you. Why are we here? I say that with all love and concern. And I'm not bragging anything on it, but we have given ourselves for that one purpose. And I stand before you this morning without shame. You have to answer yourself. Have we given ourselves to see that revelation come into place? If it's not coming into place, if it's not what's in your heart, then what are we doing? Let's go find somebody that wants it. Beloved, some of us here sitting here this morning, right here, we're carrying old baggage. Get rid of it. I don't care what it is. It's old baggage. Get rid of it. Get yourself clear. I don't care what the cost. Because if you don't, God's going to point you out. But because it's not going to be, if we go on, if there's a group of believers here that want to move on and want to commit to what God is doing and want involvement, brother, we're going to start to remember the Lord before too many weeks. This is not something we're forcing. This is something, beloved, that God desires us to remember what He's done. He wants it to be a reality in our lives. So this is decision day. If you don't say anything, we're going to consider it as such, that you do not want involvement and you don't want our involvement in your life. If you don't say anything, we take that for granted. You must say something if you want to be involved and if you want us involved in your life. You must say something. If you don't, you automatically tell us something. Glory? You don't have to be afraid of God. Let me just read it to you again. Follow along there. They looked unto Him and were lightened, and their faces were not ashamed. This poor man cried, and the Lord heard him, saved him out of all of his troubles. The angel of the Lord encampeth around about them that fear Him, and delivers them. Oh, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the man that trusteth in Him. If we're trusting in man and we're looking at man, we have fears. I have faith in God this morning and what He's doing. I'm willing to entrust everything that I am into His hands. I trust that each one of us are we're able and willing to take that step today. But don't take it off the top of your head. Because when you say it, we're going to consider that you mean it. This is not a legal transaction. This is a spiritual transaction. Glory? Do we fully understand? We can't stay camped at this water hole. It's dried up. We got to go where the water is running. Glory? We got to go where there's feeding. Apologize to those along the way that had to endure with us as we stopped at this water fountain. But it's dried up. We must move on. I have a rejoicing in my heart. I must sing with you all. I must rejoice because of what God is doing. And I'm talking about rejoicing even when I'm crying. In sorrows I can rejoice. I can come to the house of God and I can lift my heart, my hands to God, and I can rejoice in Him for what He's doing. He don't even have to do anything for me. All I have to know is that I'm pleasing Him. That's all that matters. That I'm pleasing Him. Let me just open it up here this morning for a minute or two. Does anybody have any questions? Without fear, you can ask those questions. Is it clear enough? Does everybody have a clarity of what has been said? Praise the Lord.